Welcome to Manager Tools. This is Kate.
And I'm Mark.
Today's cast, Manager Tools Feedback Model Updated, part 2 of 3.
The questions this cast answers are, how can I deliver performance communications to my team? What should I say when giving feedback? And is there a proven way to give negative feedback politely and professionally?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Do you have excellent employees who just can't seem to see eye to eye, agree, and achieve an optimal result when they both know they're recommending the exact same solution? The Manager Tools Effective Communicator Training is your answer. We can teach folks to observe others' behaviors, perform mental analysis, and tailor their natural communication style to achieve a successful exchange and workplace result. And Manager Tools will come on site and teach up to 30 people this practice, which is the key to helping them communicate better together. Great for all professionals, not just managers, particularly those who are customer-facing, internal and external. And pricing for groups of 30 can realize more than 50% discounts as opposed to our regular training events. Contact Maggie by emailing customerservice@manager-tools.com for more information.
Okay, should we get into the model?
Yeah, I think we should. We're going to start with step one, which is we ask every single time, forever and ever, for always, we ask. The first step is simple. Just ask your direct if you can give them some feedback. You can use the word feedback or another word, but you must ask every time. Positive or negative, doesn't matter.
Right.
Ask. We're asking permission. We're being respectful. And look, the only person who can change the behavior in the future is them, the direct. No matter how hard you try to make him do something differently, he won't unless he wants to. Punishment won't work. All that punishment engenders is avoidance of punishment. Again, not necessarily does that result in the behavior that you would like for them to shift into. So asking and honoring a no, if it is given, enables you to make sure that the direct is listening. This isn't, hey, let's chat about the weather. This is go into the closet and get an umbrella. There is no point in continuing a conversation if they've just come into the building after a fight with their spouse, out of a difficult meeting, or they're late with a deliverable or to another meeting and they're busy. They need to really be able to listen and hear you, because this is, honestly, it's creating like an act. I always think of it as like creating an action item for them.
Yes.
Like there's a box that has to be checked.
You're asking them for future behavior, either a change of behavior or the same behavior.
Yeah. And they need to be able to listen and hear you so that they can understand what it is you want them to continue doing. Or again, creating that action item of change of behavior in the future. We ask.
Yeah. And we're going to give you some examples of asking if you're going through your head, how do I say it? We'll give you those in a minute. We don't ask only when we're going to give negative feedback. Don't make that mistake. We ask every time. That makes the difference between positive and negative that much smaller. It's just feedback. It's not negative feedback. So therefore, I have to ask because I'm worried you'll be upset. It's just feedback. And so we ask every single time. If we only ask for negative, our directs would see that as a signal and they'd know what was coming next.
They're smarter than that.
Yeah. And the tension would start early. And we don't want tension. We want them thinking about a positive future.
Mm-hmm.
And as a general rule, you'll find it's much easier if you ask the same question every time. A question that they know by definition means, okay, we're about to talk about my future performance. You don't ask for positive feedback. Can I give you some positive feedback? Or for negative, can I give you some negative feedback? Okay, you don't. Or you don't change it because, you know, you're worried about how they might take this negative feedback. You ask the same way every time so you can be comfortable every single time saying the same thing.
My favorite thing about the question being the same every time is, for me, it really reduced, almost eliminated my concern about them saying no. Because if it's something that I do still want to share with them, I can just ask again later. They have no idea what the second step is going to be. So the sameness of the first question allows for me to try again later. Should I want to do so? If it's something that doesn't go well, or even if it's just something that I want to share multiple times, which sometimes happens. So yeah. Positive or negative, first thing in the morning, late at night, we use the same words every time.
Yep. Examples.
Yes, absolutely. So may I give you some feedback?
That's my favorite, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And some people don't like that one because it includes the word feedback.
Yeah.
I use it because it's a reminder that the fear that managers have about feedback goes away with an ethical, caring manager who has briefed them in advance. This is what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. And it takes the sting out of the word feedback, particularly since most of the time, most managers wait too long to give feedback. And it's not a feedback. It's not feedback. It's a difficult conversation. And they start learning, oh, this is going to happen more frequently. It's going to be about small things. I'm not being punished. I'm going to be rewarded in a sense when I do good, and I'm going to be asked to do more of the same thing. So I use the word feedback because I have learned in my entire career, and I was one of the first people that ever used this model routinely starting 30 years ago, the stigma goes away. Nobody minds the word. But sometimes people need different words to start off, and that's okay.
Sure. So may I give you some feedback? Can we talk about that? May I share something with you? Is now a good time for some feedback? Is now a good time to talk about performance? Generally, I even know someone who says feedback.
Oh, yeah. Like a question at the end. Just feedback? Mm-hmm. I can't do that. That one feels awkward to me. And that's why we give you multiples, right? So you can pick one that works for you.
The only thing I would say is I have found I don't recommend that people use a question to which the permissive answer is no.
Oh, do you mind?
Do you mind? Right? Yeah. Do you mind if I give you some feedback is the one? Because then the answer that allows you to proceed is no. And
it's bad.
It can be really hard to
psychologically
answer when someone says no. It's also hard for them. Like they don't know what to say in response to that. Does she?
Yeah.
It doesn't
to usually say no while meaning in the person, the recipient's mind, the direct's mind, saying no and meaning to go forward can be confusing.
Really weird.
Let's just mention briefly too. Yeah, we ask. But let's also cover this. What do we do if they say no?
Oh.
And the answer is, if you're in the middle of a spreadsheet, I always joke that if I'm having to do a pivot table. No, I think pivot tables are great, but the logic of them are just outside of my comprehension. So I really have to grind on a pivot table. If you come up to me as my boss, hey, how's it going? Good, boss. How's it going? Good. Hey, can I give you some feedback? I'm probably going to say no if I'm in the middle of a pivot table because I'm down a well. And if I take even 15 seconds, I have to go back and reconstruct all my logic to get back down the well. So believe it or not, folks, you ask, can I give some feedback? If they say no, if they're in the middle of something, they're not in the right headspace, let it go.
Walk away.
Okay. Professional managers, and by the way, this doesn't just apply to feedback. There's actually an entire manager tools cast on this concept alone. Professional managers do not ask questions of their directs, the answer to which they are not prepared to honor. If I were to ask and you said no, and I said, well, I am your boss and you are required as part of your job. Every job description in the world requires directs to accept feedback from their boss. And so I'm going to give it to you now. Maybe you'll jam it down their throat, but you will have burned down a little bit of trust because you asked first. Mm-hmm. And the asking implies that their answer has value to them.
Right.
If you ask a question, you always honor the answer. If they say no, one of two things will happen. Okay. This is the fun part of this. Either they'll never do that behavior again. That could happen. You don't know. They don't know what the feedback was going to be. But you ask, hey, can I give some feedback? You're walking out of a meeting, walking down the hall. You privately mention maybe they did something. Maybe they interrupted somebody and they know it. But they're kind of steaming about something else that happened in the meeting. And so I say, hey, can I give you some feedback? And they say no. Well, maybe they know what they did. And they never do that behavior again. If that's the case, if they never do the thing they did that wasn't good again, the purpose of the feedback has been achieved.
Yeah.
They won't do that again. So either they'll never do it again, and so there was no need to give the feedback, or if they're not in a good headspace. They're in the middle of a pivot table. They just got out of a tough meeting and they've got to run to their desk and send an email and they don't want to lose the phrasing they have in their head for the email. If they say no, and then they don't hear the feedback, either they won't do it again, or they will do it again. And then you'll have the opportunity that time to give the feedback to them. By the way, it's completely normal that they say no. It happens exceptionally rarely. Directs assume they should say yes. And you'll actually learn when they really, truly trust you about the model. When someone does say no, it's actually a good moment. And you walk away proving to them that you're going to honor their answer. But when they do that and you honor the answer and you walk away, they're going to think about it. They really will. And if they do it again, you'll have a chance to give them feedback the next time they do it. Now, as an aside, there's future guidance. We have probably 50 casts on all the various permutations and combinations of behaviors and feedback and so on, and different scenarios and situations and so on. If they do it again, we don't give feedback about both instances. We only give the feedback about the one.
Yeah, the second one.
Yeah, the second one. And I also like to tell the joke that if a direct says no, and I've done this before, they say no to give you feedback. Our data show, by the way, that 90% of directs will be back within 3 hours because that question about what the feedback was going to be about is burning in their head. And then when you give them positive feedback, they're like, well, if I'd have known it was positive, I'd have said yes. Well, sorry, dude, but you know, sometimes it's positive, sometimes it's negative. That's okay. And they'll learn that it's okay to say no. It really is okay to say no. And they'll start learning both to say yes, and if they really need to say no, they can. Mm-hmm. Something else. We've said it before. You're going to need max 30 seconds when you're first starting. Hey, can you give some feedback? When you do that thing, it's great. Thank you. Or, hey, can you give some feedback? When you do that thing, it's not so good. Can you work on that? That's it. That's all it takes. Okay? The model is designed to be brief. I said before, you're going to be given feedback within 6 months in 10 to 15 seconds. Our data show convincingly, directs do not want a long conversation about a relatively small behavior or even a medium-sized behavior, whether it's positive or negative.
Yeah.
They just don't.
They don't want a debrief. And
yeah,
you already know this yourself. If your boss were going to give you negative feedback and she had a choice between doing so in 15 seconds or in 3 minutes, you'd likely choose 15 seconds.
You don't want to stand there. Right. Yeah. I don't want to have a long conversation. I don't. Even for positive feedback. If it's a relatively small thing, I don't need 3 or 4 minutes. You tell me how great it was. I know it was a good thing and it turned out good. Thank you very much. Right?
Yeah. And our data show that the shorter the feedback exchange causes a shorter feedback exchange, causes all kinds of good stuff to happen. You, the manager, give more feedback because you don't have to plan. You don't have to prepare. You have more opportunities because it is so quick. And so right. It doesn't have to be a separate meeting. And it stands to reason, and our data supports it, that if you know every feedback conversation, positive or negative, is going to take 5 minutes, you'll give a lot less feedback than if it only takes 20 seconds.
Of course.
Yeah. And that, of course, then supports us being able to do more. It also supports their experience. Your directs appreciate the brevity. So you don't have to worry that they dread the short exchange, and you shouldn't dread the short exchange because it is actually beneficial.
Right.
And if we're looking for speed, we're not talking about speed of delivery. We're talking about fewer words. Less words is better. Less words means less chance to mess it up to a certain extent.
Yeah, exactly. Particularly when you're learning in the beginning, right?
Yeah. And so simple is easier. It's better. It's more effective. And I found this to be true too. Some of the things in the past that have been shared with me that are more to the point are more impactful. I find they're more impactful for me in my experience. And yeah. On the opposite end of the spectrum.
Oh, this is my favorite part of this podcast. Yeah.
There's a misguided concept. It's really bad regarding feedback that has come to the fore in the past 5 years that maybe people have heard of. We've certainly heard about it, called feedback dialogue. The idea being that managers, in order to give feedback, should engage in a dialogue with each direct about each of their mistakes or errors. We're supposed to find out why they did what they did, gain some understanding of motivation that will give us insight into how to help them then fix their behaviors. And man, this is it sounds awful to me, partially because it reminds me of like a fault tree analysis, like a root cause, sit down engineering meeting. Like it reminds me of an electrical diagram on a vehicle or a mission and just, you know, the tracing of it. And those kinds of conversations always were fraught with like, it's almost like Duck, Duck, Goose. Like in those situations, it's always like, okay, who's going to get in trouble? Who's going to get chosen? Who's going to get tapped on the head? Who's going to get tapped on the shoulder? That's what it reminds me of. So for me, I always respond negatively to this idea. And if you didn't have that experience of tracing electrical diagrams, know that feedback dialogue is a terrible idea. Whether you have this horrible experience in your past, feedback dialogue is not supported by our volume of data, nor in keeping with a trusting relationship with your directs. There's just so many reasons. And okay, here are some reasons why short, brief feedback using our model is far superior to this new trendy concept, feedback dialogue. Yeah.
And I will say this, a part of the feedback dialogue comes from a lot of technical organizations that use, as you say, root cause analysis. And they think that every problem has to have an RCA, root cause analysis. The problem is now you're having to have, again, that 5-minute discussion that you don't have time for. You will literally give less feedback if every single time you give negative feedback, you have to include an analysis or a dialogue with the direct. The fact is, you are required, your job is to get the best behavior out of your directs. Your directs do not need you to have a dialogue with them. And most managers who think about this feedback dialogue think they're being very caring, but they're not doing one-on-ones. They haven't built an empathetic, trusting, caring relationship with their direct. And so the direct just feels the boss is trying to tell them what to do, trying to get to the root cause. And a lot of times the root cause is, well, I just had this thought. And the idea that a manager is a good enough psychologist, and in fact, we have a podcast called You're Not a Psychologist, because you can't see inside people's head. The idea that you can psychologically determine the upstream cause of a mistake and then eliminate that cause by cauterizing some synapses in somebody's brain is ludicrous. Here's something else. You'll note that when it comes to feedback dialogue, they don't suggest that you're being asked to have a dialogue when the direct does something well. Mm-hmm. Dialogue is only reserved for mistakes. And in our experience, any model that separates positive from negative feedback in terms of how you deliver it diminishes both in their testing. If you take 5 to 10 minutes to do a feedback dialogue on the negative, but you only take 15 to 30 seconds for the positive, that sounds like you're focused on the negative. That means you spend more time correcting mistakes, when in fact, 90% of what happens in your organization is good. Directs see that negative delivery, the spending time on the negative, fixing them, quote unquote, as punishment. And they see the positive as maybe just praise. Mm-hmm. And one is elevated and the other is denigrated. And you end up with the same problem, a lack of trust.
Mm-hmm. Also, we've been talking about the future in our model and how it's focused on the future. Discussing what went wrong is the opposite. It focuses on the past. And our hope is that you can use feedback to create a positive future. The purpose of all feedback, positive or negative, is to encourage a positive future.
Exactly.
And when directs understand that all feedback is about the future and all future discussions are inherently positive because we hope for a positive future, you eliminate the differing stigma of negative versus positive feedback, and only then are having productive conversations. Yeah. It always kills me when people ask me, well, Kate, what about constructive feedback?
Constructive criticism, they call it sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. Although I think people have gotten smart, right? And so now they call it constructive feedback. And my counter to that is, yep, that's what this is.
Yeah.
This is constructive feedback because it is talking about the future. If you do it right, it is constructive feedback because we're constructing a positive future.
Exactly.
And that's part of the, I believe, the reason people say constructive is because they want to put a positive spin on it. Not that they don't want to give negative, because they certainly do based on the questions people ask at conferences. Yeah. They only ask questions about negative. So they must want to give it.
I'd not heard that. I'm glad you shared that. I hadn't heard that people had gotten smart and went from constructive criticism to constructive feedback. Mm-hmm. But of course, what they mean, they never mean positive. They only mean negative. Right. They don't even imply, when people say feedback in the typical, in the business press, and when managers are talking about it, when HR talks about it, when bosses talk about it, when they say feedback, they mean negative, which is fundamentally wrong and bad.
Yeah.
I go back to Ron Rivera again. The NFL spends a lot more time focusing on what they did right than what they did wrong. They go over and over the things that are right. You see what we did here. You see what we did there. You see how that worked, right? They want to imprint the positivity. The longer you spend on negative, the more time you're imprinting the negative. There's something else too here. If you're going to have a dialogue about the past, trying to help them fix something, it implies that the direct needs some help solving their problem. But that implies they can't fix it themselves. We trusted them to do whatever they did. It didn't turn out well. You can't assume that when a human being makes one mistake, they won't figure it out. They'll figure out that that wasn't good, and we can help them by focusing on a positive future. Because it's a danger, because now a problem has been created at a lower level. This is organizational theory 101. A direct makes a mistake, and then the manager has to solve it. A problem has been created at a lower level, but is now getting solved at a higher level. You start scaling this across an entire organization, it is massively inefficient. In fact, executives learn all the time. You created that problem, you solve it. Because the organization knows that if a problem is caused at one level and solved at a higher level, ultimately everything gets reverse delegated up to the CEO. We won't do anything until the CEO decides what everybody should do. Your job as a manager is to be the bulwark for the organization, because you represent the organization to your team. Most managers don't know that. Your first responsibility is not to the team. It's actually to your results, to the organization. And so when somebody makes a mistake, simply tell them, hey, when you did that, that wasn't good. Can you do that better next time? And trust them enough to try to figure it out. Show them that you trust them. This is a small thing. You'll be able to figure it out. I'd like you to do it differently next time. That's all I'm asking. I'm focusing on you doing it right in the future. They might do it wrong again in a different way the next time, but at least they're cycling through the possible ways they can do it wrong. And there aren't that many ways to do certain things wrong when we're talking about small things, the 99.9% of things that Kate mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm. I always find my big struggle with the feedback dialogue that comes up often, not my other struggle, which is the electrical diagram. The one that comes up the most often is managers suggesting we should ask the person why they did what they did.
Ah, yes. That's at the heart of the feedback dialogue, right? Why did you do it?
Yeah. And, you know, I think it doesn't assume positive intent or suggest trust to ask someone that. Additionally, though, the thing that gets me is when it's the simplest thing, the simplest why. There's nowhere to go from there. So somebody says, why'd you miss the meeting? And the answer being simple, 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 I forgot.
Right.
So then what are you supposed to say? How are we going
to
solve that problem? Yeah, exactly. For the simplest, most human things, like, oh, I was eating a sandwich in the break room. There is no cause and effect, you know, that will solve this problem that we're having. An actual mistake, just a mistake, that cannot really, truly be dialogued in so many cases. It's just a human thing to do, to forget or to be eating or to, you know, do these things. And so then you look at them, they look at you, nowhere to go from there.
Right, right. As well, if they have five whys, they will repeat all the whys that they had for why they did the thing that they did that turned out not effective, not efficient. And now they have repeated the whys. In their head, the way the brain works is, that's reinforcing all the reasons they did what they did. It validates the mistake. And we don't want to validate the mistake. We want to forget about the mistake, and we want to ask for different in the future. You'll note that in the Manager Tools feedback model, we only ask the direct. Now we're talking specifically about negative feedback here.
Because it's only step four.
We only ask for them to try to do something better or different. That's all. We don't tell them what to do. We only ask. That gives our direct the agency to solve their own problems. It reduces the chance they'll always assume that their boss must be involved in the solution, which is what I think what feedback dialogue implies. In fact, with feedback dialogue taking as much time as it does, the fact that managers don't have time to do it, directs will start to get the impression that, well, apparently I'm not getting feedback dialogue, so what I'm doing must be okay. When in fact, it's the manager not having enough time to talk to them about the mistakes they're making, and we all make mistakes. The MT model, our model, respects the direct enough to let them work through the solution on their own. And if they continue to struggle, after we've given feedback on something three times, at the end of it, you could say, do you want some help?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you don't have to offer help right away and then have to have a 2 to 3 minute coaching conversation. Not that it's actually coaching, as you'll learn when you listen to our coaching model podcast. And now suddenly we're taking 5 minutes again to address a small thing.
Yeah. And instead, we could just start with trust and then continue it. If we're going to trust our directs, which we've already committed to do, we ought to show them that we do so by letting them work through their mistakes, by giving them the opportunity and the autonomy. And if they ask, do you have a suggestion? Feel free, in some cases, to provide one. Or
yeah, no
you might
problem.
Try to say something, well, what do you think you should do? Development question. You have options. We don't have to solve all these problems, though.
No, you can't. You can't solve all your directs' problems. You're not solving all of your own problems now. And we're not trying to put you down with that. Neither are we. We got plenty of problems. Everybody's got problems.
June 11th and 12th, we're coming to Charlotte for an EMC and ECC. If you're listening here, you're probably interested in the content of our Effective Manager Conference on June 11th. We cover the Manager Tools Trinity and how to implement it, the actual steps to running your team and still getting your real work done, all in a one-day conference. Come to Charlotte and learn how to be a good manager. June 11th and 12th, EMC and ECC. Sign up at manager-tool.com/training.
All right. So now we've asked, hey, can I use some feedback? Can I share something with you? Can I make an observation? Can we talk about your performance? Now we're to step two, describing behavior. This is another place where a lot of managers don't understand the underlying principles of organizations and human behavior. And so they don't know that feedback is only about behavior. In this step, step two, we tell the direct what they did well or what they did that we'd like them to change. You'll note we only give feedback about behaviors. Behaviors are not attitude. It's not intent. Please don't try to guess what your directs are thinking or feeling or intending or motivated by. It's not feelings. We don't give feedback about feelings or motivation. If we try to give feedback about somebody else's mental state or intent, we will get it wrong far too often. And frankly, organizations are only focused on behavior, not intent. Believe it or not, your organization as an entity, as a construct, does not care about intent or attitude or motivation. You can certainly find a lot of books that try to get and change your attitude or improve your motivation, prove your intent or improve your feelings or whatever. But in fact, what the organization runs on is behavior. And so that should be the language of managers when talking about performance, which is behavior.
Yeah. And this is maybe something you haven't always been focused on. If you've been listening to us for a while, you may be more focused on it. But behavior is the things that you can see and hear. In fact, behavior consists in a professional world of 5 things. The words they say, how they say them, facial expression, body language, and work product. In step two, you can cover any of these 5 aspects. And really, honestly, this is close your eyes, play the tape back. What did you hear?
Yes.
What did you see?
What did they do? What did they actually do with their work?
Right. Not your impression. You can't talk about their intent, their motivation, their attitude, because you cannot see those things. You can see the way they made that face. You can see the body language they used. You can hear the words they used that were less positive than other words they could have chosen. Or you can hear the tone. Dude, I was in Melbourne. I was giving this training. We were talking about feedback. And I said, when you use a sarcastic tone, and somebody in the room said, can you hear? No, they said, you can't hear a sarcastic tone. And I said, can't you? It was this honestly, I didn't even realize it would be funny. I'm very rarely intentionally funny. Let's be honest. I don't tell jokes. That's not my thing. I'm not very good at it. Thank goodness my partner is funny, or we probably would never be invited to dinner. I didn't realize it would be funny, but I have to tell people that I was funny. I was funny.
Yeah.
Because
good. And well done.
I know. But the demonstration of it was so easy to do. And so that I said, well, if you wanted to maybe repeat back the type of tone that they use, that would be fine.
Right. When you say it like this.
Exactly. When you use this intonation and then to an extent mimic what you heard. Again, though, these are things you can hear and see. Close your eyes, play the tape back. Not attitude, not motivation, not intention. There should be no question about what you're describing. Someone shouldn't be able to imagine another thing, right? And
right.
Before we move on, because I know we want to continue to talk about this, I want to mention work product behaviors include quality, quantity, accuracy, timeliness, documentation, which includes email, and sometimes safety, like eye goggles, ESD jackets, these kinds of things.
Right. Reaching across a tool that's operating, those kind of things. The story about sarcasm that I think is funny, it's an old X-Files bit.
Oh my gosh.
Agent Mulder, Fox Mulder, says something, and now I'm forgetting the female agent's name. Scully, Agent Scully.
Sir, how dare you?
Yeah. Yeah. He says something that is obviously untrue, and she's had enough of it. And she uses three words together with just this tone dripping in consequism, which is sure, fine, whatever. Well, sure is a positive word, and fine is a positive word. Now, whatever is usually not a positive word. There's also another story about a professor talking to a class, and I think it's an English class in college, and he says, you know, we have a language, English language, where you can do a double negative, right? Mm-hmm. But isn't it interesting? There's no such thing. And a double negative means the opposite of the two negatives. It's a positive. But there's no double positives. And from the back of the room, a guy says, yeah, right. I mean, literally, that's a double positive that absolutely means a negative. And you, if you only can talk about words, yeah, right, but you can't talk about tone or delivery, then yeah, right is only positive. But in fact, yeah, right is clearly a negative. So when you say, yeah, right, in that tone, it comes across as negative, which is not helpful for the meeting, right? Yeah.
You're forgetting the part where, as Dana Scully says, sure, fine, whatever, she snaps a medical glove because she's doing like an autopsy. Snap.
Right.
So good.
I have other things to do.
Yeah. Get out of here. And okay. So all of the X-Files aside, which is impressive since it's massive. I went back and watched a couple years ago. It's many, many episodes. We're talking about things you can hear and see, and really you can only guess at motivation and intent. No one person can truly understand another's thought process. And because you cannot truly understand their thought process, and therefore you are guessing, you're unlikely to be right, and it doesn't matter anyway. If they did the right thing for bad reasons or the wrong thing for good reasons, it's truly the outcome that matters. And in giving feedback, we want the same outcome, positive feedback, or a different outcome, negative feedback. And that's what we're trying to encourage, effective future behavior. What is most effective here in terms of our purpose is to focus on the behavior you saw and the outcome that occurred because of it.
Yep.
Not attitude.
Not motivation, mm-mm. Right? Yeah. I want to go back and just highlight for everybody. We talked about the four interpersonal behaviors, facial expression, body language, words they say, how they say it. Work product is the fifth one, and it has many subparts, as Kate said, quality, quantity, accuracy, timeliness, documentation, and safety. You're going to end up giving far more feedback about work product than you are about the others. Now, certainly, if they have interpersonal communication problems or relationship problems, you're going to give them feedback about those things. If they do those things well, if they have good relationships, if they have good communication, you're going to get positive feedback about that. But most of you, if you're listening to us for the first time, have never heard that there is a fifth behavior, quality, quantity, accuracy, work product, quality, quantity, accuracy, timeliness, documentation, and safety. And Kate mentioned email, but documentation is any documentation, a Slack message, a text message, a spreadsheet, a PowerPoint, a Pages document, whatever it might be. And you're going to have to look for those. And so typically what those things have, quality, quantity, accuracy, timeliness, documentation, safety, they have standards, mm-hmm. right? Quality is, does your work meet the standard? Quantity is, did you do enough? Accuracy, is it correct? Timeliness, is it on time? Which is something that I think about all the time. I'm amazed the number of companies I go to where everybody's late all the time, and then they wonder why their projects are late. Well, it's the same behavior, timeliness, and documentation and safety the same way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said it, Kate. You said attitude is not behavior.
No, it's not.
Yeah, whether you agree or not, folks, you can probably see the outcome of saying to your direct, you had a bad attitude in that meeting. The direct is going to say, you all have it in your head. If somebody said that to you, you'd all say the same thing. No, I didn't. Right? That's what everybody says when someone says, you have a bad attitude. You're not going to get very far talking about attitude, intent, motivation, purpose, emotions, feelings. Focus on behavior.
Yeah. Because, again, there is a record of behavior as opposed to their attitude. There's no record
right.
of their attitude. They can suggest that you're wrong, and there's no proof that you're yes. correct.
You can't win that argument.
Right. Yeah. Giving feedback on attitude leads to defensive behavior from the direct. And at this point, they're not listening or considering how they can change. And defensiveness reinforces that lack of yeah. change.
Compare the you had a bad attitude in that meeting with saying, when you roll your eyes and sat back and crossed your arms when Sam made that announcement, nobody can argue whether they rolled their eyes or sat back or crossed their arms. Those are actual behaviors. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're probably right. They had a bad attitude. But you're not going to win that argument. So focus on their behaviors.
That's it for this week, folks. Come back next week for a continuation of this topic.